Thank you for listening to Ivy Podcast, where we feature weekly leadership conversations with thought leaders and industry experts. Now, here is your host, John Karsibayev.
I'm Angela Martirano, and I'm the president of Orchid Holistic Search, a boutique executive search firm focused in natural CPG.
Angela, thanks so much for making time to join us on the Ivy Podcast. Tell us a little bit about where you actually based. It's very interesting.
Thanks, John. Yeah, I'm actually based in Costa Rica. I'm in a tiny little mountain town, so there are a lot of sounds around me, including some construction on the road and a lot of birds.
That's awesome. Well, that's a first for us on the Ivy Podcast. That's exciting. Before we get into talk about your current role, current organization, give us a thumbnail version of your career to date.
Sure, sounds good. So I was brought up in a family of entrepreneurs, and I was always inspired by the freedom that running your own business could bring. So I always knew I wanted to go into business, and I didn't know exactly what that would look like, but I kind of kept plugging away with learning in business classes in high school, taking on internships. I worked in internal audit for a bit, HR, and then right out of college, where I graduated with a bachelor's degree in sales and business marketing. After that, I sold beer. And while that was an interesting career move, right, for a college graduate, it felt like a good fit at the time. It wasn't a path that was going to be one of longevity. And so I was actually recruited into recruiting. I spent a couple years cutting my teeth in Metro Detroit during a financial collapse, and especially during a time period where companies were actually letting go of a lot of staff, right? I worked in the automotive space. So after doing that for a couple of years, I met my husband, and he's a naturopathic medical doctor. So he had a pretty good scope of the natural products industry, including dietary supplement companies, natural functional food and beverage. And so we decided to sort of marry our interests and career paths and created our own company, Search, and that was 12 years ago.
Oh, that's super exciting. Very, very diverse and interesting background. I appreciate you sharing. Can definitely relate to on so many levels from the entrepreneurial perspective. So fast forward with your current company, tell us a little bit more about it. What is the value proposition, and where do you see this company going?
Sure, definitely. So when we started Orchid Holistic Search, our focus was values, right? To bring our full and authentic selves to the work that we were doing, to focus on quality versus quantity. I felt and I realized from working for a larger staffing and recruitment company that the model was broken, and the model was based mostly on numbers, right? It was a numbers game. You're only as good as your last month. How many placements and searches can you take on? Whereas when we started our business, we wanted to do something different. So by aligning ourselves with companies where we felt truly in alignment with values, the types of products they were offering, we felt like we could add a ton of value. We limit our desk size, our desk space, to 3 to 5 clients at once, so that we can really personalize the service, get to know our clients, and the results are there. So we fill almost every single search we take on. We work with companies anywhere from startup through a healthy medium-sized business, companies that make dietary supplements, beauty products, wellness-oriented products, food and beverage, anywhere from, let's call it, a $5 million range through $200 million range. We love working with founders that have a strong mission, vision, and values, and that we find like it's really just us acting as a representation of who they are in the market. And we find that that enables us to make phenomenal placements with people who are aligned with their culture.
Yeah, that, you know, definitely resonates on so many levels from, you know, what you've mentioning with the kind of the process or the system being broken, in the sense being the numbers game. I've been on both sides, you know, especially when I was, you know, the job seeker and the candidate. I think that definitely, you know, it was felt just being another, I guess, metric, statistic from that perspective. So I can see a lot of value in terms of what you're trying to build there. So you've been in this industry for quite some time. I'm sure you studied the trends. You've seen the market go through all different directions. Tell us a little bit more about what trends are you spotting these days? What are you researching? What are you mostly excited about?
You know, over the past year, and it may be a little bit of bias, right, because of the industry that we focus on, but we have seen an incredible shift in companies that are really putting an emphasis on their values and, you know, making sure that candidates are aligned 100%. So what we're seeing is companies, you know, are making sure that they not only have a marketing story, right, for the why of what they do, but that it's kind of embedded within the culture. So I think I see more companies focusing on areas of culture, making sure that they're doing the right things to attract the right talent. And on the flip side, especially, you know, over the pandemic, it has really shifted the way that people think about work, life, balance, you know, and their values. And I think, you know, instead of people in the past who were mostly focused on compensation, logistics, and career growth, the number one value that we see is people wanting to work with organizations that are transparent and that allow employees to bring their full selves to work. So I think that's super exciting, and I'm happy to be a part of that whenever I can.
Right. Absolutely. Can definitely see very interesting trends, especially in the current market conditions coming out of pandemic. Going to be very exciting to watch what happens next. So as you represent the both sides, the hiring organization, the hiring manager, and the candidates on the other side, for me, it's very fascinating to learn about interviewing techniques, because I'm yet to see anybody master that. It's very challenging, it's very difficult, and it's always an opportunity to learn something new through every interview that you facilitate or participate in. Tell us a little bit about your strategies to prepare the both sides, prepare the hiring manager and your candidate for that first experience, to increase your batting average, you know, set the right expectations. Just share with us those practical recommendations.
I'm going to go back to transparency once again. I think if you start on both sides, as a recruiter, if we can guide our clients and our candidates to bring transparently who they are and what the needs and what the goals are of the organization, everybody's going to have a better time. I think that when we personalize the process, right, when we really are focused on understanding the why on the client side, as well as the candidate side, that's where the magic happens. And I think part of it is dropping our guard a little bit, right? Dropping that over-professionalism and getting to know each other on a more human basis, right? I think part of my application process, which helps me to stand out as a recruiter to my clients and helps my candidates shine, is that I ask in my applications, please introduce yourself as a, insert title here, right? As a marketing leader, as a VP of business development. But then my very next question is, please introduce yourself as a human. Who are you? Like, what drives you? And I think that when, as a recruiter, I'm able to encourage people to drop the guard, drop the facade, and bring their whole self to the interview process. And the same with the clients. Like, you're going to find someone who wants to work for your organization, despite any flaws, right? If you can bring out to the table, here's where we struggle as an organization, here's where we want to do better, and here are the great things about working for us, I think you're always going to find the right person. It's when a company or a candidate tries to kind of mask the flaws or only highlight the strengths, I think that's where we find a mismatch can happen. So again, I think it's all about transparency, and it's all about process. Like, I see so many companies struggle when they go ahead and post a job on the internet. They're going to get 300 applicants. It's going to be a nightmare to sort through all of those people. The process becomes less human. People aren't getting responses. So if you can add another layer, someone who is both engaged in the client side and the candidate side to make the candidate process a positive experience, I think that's just where the magic can happen in an interview process.
Right. Absolutely. No, those are definitely interesting recommendations. Appreciate you sharing that. When it comes to, you know, the other emerging trend that, you know, I've been very interested about is the overall concept of future of work. So when we talk about contingent workers, freelancers, gig workers, from overall that perspective, virtual environments, hybrid models, talk to us a little bit about your perspectives on the future of work.
The future of work, I think, you know, when we talk about future, we're really looking at how to marry personal and work-life balance. And I think the future of work is remote, right? I mean, you can argue with me about that, and so can a client, and I'm happy to help them find somebody who wants to be in an office. Some people do. But I think the future of work includes flexibility. I think that more and more people, if they cannot find an employer where they can bring who they are to the table every day, and an employer who values them as a human being and realizes that they are spending 8 hours plus a day working for that organization, but that the organization doesn't own them, right? If they're not going to find respect within an organization, then they're going off on their own. And I've seen so many people find joy in coming out as a freelancer, as a consultant over the past year. So I think people are ready to just stand in their own authenticity, whatever their skill set might be, and take the leap and realize, you know, it's not worth it to work for an organization that doesn't share the same values.
Right. I absolutely know. That's definitely interesting concepts. And we'll see a lot more of that as, you know, as we observe the market in the next, the next year, so to say. When it comes to working with your clients with regards to winning that war on retention, so to say, because it's a candidate-driven market, so many opportunities. And, you know, companies, a lot of them that don't succeed in building and fostering the culture of, just overall success, tend to lose top performers to their competitors. What are some of the recommendations there when it comes to retention?
Sure. So we're definitely seeing that. I mean, candidates are getting offers faster than you can even take them through a process. So I think some guiding or overarching themes that we can bring into the hiring process are: A, get really clear on who it is that you want to hire, have a very solidified process, and make it as seamless and quick as possible, right? I mean, we all need to get to know each other. But if we're coming in and we're on round three of an interview, and then so-and-so consultant or investor is suddenly jumping into the process, we're going to lose candidates, right? So we need to value people's time. We need to make the process efficient and short. And then sometimes that means laying it out in advance. Like when I'm talking with my clients, I ask them, what does this process look like? And I hold them to that. So when I get ready to present a slate of candidates, I'm asking my clients, okay, so first round, we're going to do that 60-minute interview with you. Okay, great. We're going to debrief. And then next is an interview with the two peers. And then just keep the process flowing along. The other thing is making sure that you're at or above compensation standards for the position, for the role, making sure you're in alignment. Because, you know, there's a lot of money flying around out there, especially when you're looking at areas like digital marketing, where people are just getting insane offers. And, I'm not saying throw all, caution to the wind or throw money at the problem, but you've got to be competitive. And then I think the other thing is really making sure that you're an employer of choice. And for a lot of people, that means flexibility. It means work from home. It means PTO that makes sense. I mean, you know, going a little bit above and beyond the 2 weeks. It means caring about your employee and the fact that they have a family and they have a life outside of work, and that people generally want to do the best for companies that respect them as a whole person. So I think all of those areas, right? Moving quickly, moving aggressively with a strong offer. And then once the person is in the company, providing the perks and benefits and flexibility that will make that person want to be valued and make them stay. Has a person been with your company for a year or two and not gotten any sort of raise? That needs to be a conversation, right? Or else they're going to look. I mean, average employment at this point, at least in the industry that I work in, it's like 2 years. So what is that company doing to retain? It's going to have to be continuing to show value as an employer of choice. And that means for a lot of people, flexibility and compensation.
Right. No, I love these and makes perfect sense. You know, also sounds very simple, but oftentimes overlooked strategies, especially when it comes to, you know, retaining talent, being very proactive versus something that's already happening. You are sitting at the resignation table and trying to figure things out, how to, you know, prevent something like that. You definitely don't want to be in that situation. So everything you talked about makes perfect sense. When it comes to, you know, just your personal content diet, that you utilize certain sources to stay ahead of the curve, instead of, you know, ahead of the industry trends, to observe where your market is going, and just to self-educate. Share with us your sources of information and sources for self-education.
Sure. I spend a lot of time on LinkedIn, actually, right? I'm a recruiter. That's where a lot of talent is hanging out, a lot of companies. So I definitely follow the trends there, right? And there are a few different groups in my industry that I follow that, you know, put out content, whether it's from investors, right? And from the investor side, founders putting out content, other recruiters, although I can't say I spend too much time, you know, sort of following the herd there. So I would say LinkedIn is a primary source of information for me and for our business. I do a decent amount of reading, and I think, you know, one quick read that I feel everyone should take a stab at is the Four Agreements. I think that one is critical to life and business. And then another one that I'm in the midpoint of that's on my desk today is The Culture Code, Daniel Coyle. And that's a really great read as well for building an inclusive and diverse culture. I also follow a lot of diversity, inclusion, and belonging experts on LinkedIn as well, how we can do things differently.
Right. Well, that's pretty cool. And thanks for sharing some of these sources, because with so much information being available out there, thrown at us, I'm always fascinated to hear other people's strategies, how to, you know, be very selective and what you let your mind be exposed to. So definitely always interested in hearing, you know, strategies as such. In terms of a book, what are you currently reading, and what is one book that you always recommend to others, and why is that?
Yeah, the two that I would recommend are The Culture Code and The Four Agreements, like I just mentioned. Those two are
that's the one that that's your go-to.
Are both really? Yeah, those are go-to books for sure. And then I think I think it's good to take a break, right, from self-help books and business learnings. And The Overstory is a really beautiful book. The complex nature of people and, you know, the world around us, nature, and that's a beautiful read for someone who wants to take a breather from the business literature.
Right. No, I love this. I love these recommendations, and just overall appreciate your insights and everything you've shared today, because I'm always fascinated to hear from the practitioners on the field that help the both sides, the hiring managers and the candidates, the job seekers. I thought you were very generous with some of your advice, which is invaluable. So definitely appreciated that. And then what I love doing with all of the guests is do a follow-up episode in about a year to see how much of change transpired, revisit the conversation from a year ago and see if everything still makes sense. So I'm definitely looking forward to doing that with you as well.
I would love that. And my last piece of advice is it doesn't have to be just client focused or candidate focused. I think a good recruiter really walks that line well and makes sure that the candidates are having a phenomenal phenomenal experience as well as the company. So thank you so much for having me on, John, and definitely interested in chatting with you again in the next year.
I love that recommendation. Thanks for that, and we'll talk soon.
Cheers.
Thank you for listening to the Ivy Podcast. Be sure to subscribe to our RSS feed on ivypodcast.com and all major podcasting platforms like Spotify and iTunes. As always, if you enjoyed this podcast, please give us a rating on iTunes.